Jesus, we thank you that you are our future and our past. Thank you that you are our present today. And God, we worship you and are so happy that you are with us this morning. In your precious name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Lisa. I am one of the pastors here. And as always, it's good to see you. Worship band, thank you so much for leading us this morning. So grateful for you. We get to start a new series today. I'm pretty excited about it. And but first, when I walked in today, I realized I get to see some people that have been away on vacation and or on a trip. And Jill walked through the door from Nicaragua, so we're excited that our team from Nicaragua made it back. And we're excited about that. And even Ted Baker walked in from his trip, and I was excited to see him. Yeah. Hopefully it's okay I called you out, Ted. I know you had a trip of a lifetime. I can't wait to hear it. But when people come back from vacation, I always love to ask about how it was. And one of my favorite questions I love to ask is, like, what was the most beautiful thing you saw? What was a moment that filled you with wonder? What was some, you know, just a moment where you're just like, wow, that's amazing. And for some of you, you know, if you were to think about that on some of your trips, or maybe, you know, you see it around here, what would you say? You know, and some of my trips, Rocky Mountains, you look at the Rocky Mountains and you're like, wow, that's amazing. Walking on the Great Wall of China, wow, that's amazing. When your child was born, or when you saw your bride on the wedding day. Husbands, that's the right answer. The most amazing moment of your life. It could be as simple as listening to a bird sing and realizing, I can't believe God created all these birds with all these different songs. Have you ever thought of that? I think that's incredible. Or that a hummingbird can fly backwards. I learned that this week. On one of my trails, as you know, preparing for sermons, we get off on all kinds of side trails, but that's something that I learned. Or some of you have watched the Olympic trials lately. Isn't it amazing to see how God has created the human body to do some of the things that they are able to do? To run that far, to swim that fast, to jump that high. It's beholding these things that make us just go, wow. And you know what? I don't think that's unique to being a follower of Jesus. I just think that's part of being human, and that God has wired us as humans to be able to appreciate beauty and moments of wonder when we see it, and to respond with awe. You know, no matter a person's religious persuasion or their background, you look at the Rocky Mountains and you're going to say, wow. But here's what I think the big difference is. I think an atheist can adore the mountains. But I think it's the Christian or the follower of Jesus who adores the God who created the mountains. As followers of Jesus, when we behold something or someone that is incredible, it makes us want to acknowledge the divine behind it. Or does it? I think all of us have found ourselves in these moments where we've worshiped the created instead of worshiping the creator. And so that all brings me to what I want to talk to you about today in our series, Uncommon Prayer, is this idea of adoration. I wanted to kick off this series of adoration because I think that adoration is a powerful form of prayer that we could all improve upon, that we could all practice more. I see that Jesus did it very well. He opened up his prayer, you know, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be recognized as holy. Jesus lived his life always in adoration of the Father. And we can learn a lot from that. When I think of adoration, I think of this definition, a posture of love and reverence towards God. A posture of love and reverence towards God. So how much space do we make for that in our week? Just to adore God, because he's worthy of it. And You might think, well, Lisa, what does that even look like? Because we all have our different perceptions of what it looks like to adore God. Does that mean parading around with tambourines and, you know, streamers? Is it the quietness of your own closet at home praying? Is it everything in between? Is it adoring a waterfall? Yes, yes, and yes. But I think it's worthy of thinking about how can this idea of cultivating a deeper love and adoration for God happen in our life? And so that's what I want to give us space to do this morning, and I want to guide us into a time to adore the beauty and to behold the beauty of Jesus. Because I think that's when we focus our affections on God, that it deeply forms us, because it creates a deeper union with God, and that's what prayer is, fostering that deeper connection. And you may say, well, what is the benefit? How does it form us, Lisa? How does that form us? Well, I think because when we adore God, it's like the other loves get pushed aside, and it realigns us, it recalibrates us to the one who is worthy of our ultimate love and affection, and we're able to revere God. So that's why this practice is so powerful. So you say, how do we practice adoration? How are we going to do that this morning? Well, I want to do it through two movements, and I had some people help me with this week. I hung out with several different friends this week, and one of my questions was, hey, I'm preparing for this message, and I'm just curious, what helps you adore God? What helps you see the beauty of God? What cultivates that in your spirit? And I kind of got comments that all fell in these two categories. Noticing the beauty of Jesus in Scripture. So when you read about him, when you read about his life, when you read about how other people that experienced Jesus, what they said about him, so that fosters a deeper love for Jesus. And two, noticing the beauty of Jesus around us. And when I say that, I mean like in nature and in people's stories and in the people that you encounter and in music and in art. And it's not just enough to notice these things. I think a lot of us sometimes just move through our day and be like, oh, that's cool, that's amazing. But do we stop and then respond and tell God that? And so that's what I want to do this morning. And a heads up, it's not going to be a normal sermon. And for some of you, that might be a disappointment. For some of you, it might be like, hooray, something different. but here's what I think. I think if we can get to the end of this time together and you have spent some moments genuinely, deeply gazing upon the beauty of Jesus and us doing that together collectively as a church, I think that's time well invested. That's time well invested as we learn to follow him. One of the main rocks of our vision here at Commonway Church is practice-based discipleship. So what does that mean? That just means that when we follow Jesus, we have to practice at it. It's kind of training. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm a mature follower of Jesus. But there are things that we can do to help us be able to learn to follow him and become more like him. And if our highest call is to love God with our whole heart and to love our neighbor as ourself, then I think there is space for what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to take time to notice the beauty of Jesus in Scripture and the beauty of Jesus around us. And then I'm going to encourage us to respond with a simple prayer of adoration. Wow. This week, I was telling Christy a little bit of my thoughts of this message. And I said, yeah, Christy, I kind of want to help our church to slow down and gaze upon Jesus. And I gave her some different ideas of how I wanted to do that and prayers. And she's like, oh, yeah, wow prayers. I said, excuse me? She says, wow prayers. And I said, I'm not following you. She says, wow prayers, Anne Lamott. Okay, she says, it's a book, just a minute. She goes down the hall, she comes back, she pops out this book. Now, I will say, Anne Lamott can be a little irreverent, so take it as you will, but I do think that she is refreshingly honest and very thought-provoking. And she wrote a book called The Three Essential Prayers, Help, Thanks, and Wow. Even the title alone had me at hello, okay? So, wow is what I'm wanting to do this morning summed up in one word, wow. When we see something with the divine behind it, are we able to say, wow, God, that's amazing. It doesn't have to be an extravagant prayer. It can just be a simple wow. So we're going to do that this morning. Are you ready? Yes, Lisa, we're ready. Okay. I want to first usher us into a time of prayer just to position us to receive from God today. If you've done some of these experiences with me before, it's something I like to do. And I'll just pray, and you can pray along with me. And I just want us to invite God to help us, you know, push aside distraction and the stuff that we brought in today and help us to receive. Not sure about you, but this one visited me this week. Okay, any Inside Out 2 watchers? A few. All right, I watched this movie this week, and this is anxiety, the emotion anxiety that visited the 13-year-old hitting puberty. And I have to say, anxiety visited me this week. And maybe anxiety visited you this week. And maybe anxiety has stayed too long. So I acknowledge that. And let's just take some time to prayer, acknowledge that, and ask God's help, okay? So Lord, we come asking that you just help us enter into a space that you have our full attention. And God, if it's like we're arriving in an airport and we have to decide if we're checking our luggage, God, can we just check all our luggage today? Can we give you our carry-ons too? Anything that we brought in this morning that is just heavy and weighing on us and distracting, and we got it all bundled all up in all these bags. Jesus, can we just allow you to take that for the next 30 so minutes we're together? Whatever conversation we might have to have this week, whatever project is waiting for us tomorrow, whatever stuff we've lost sleep over, whatever pain we're carrying, whatever tears we're holding back, God, can we just give that to you and check it and know that a lot of it will be waiting for us at the end of the service, or maybe you'll just take it today. Holy Spirit, be our counselor. Be our great teacher of truth. We want to see the beauty of you today, God. Would you do that for us? Would you do that for us? Amen. One of my favorite places to go when I think about the beauty of Jesus is scripture in Hebrews 1. Haven't taught from Hebrews before, I don't think, with you, so I thought I would go there this morning. I'm not going to do a deep dive into Hebrews, but there are certain sections of Scripture that when I think about the supremacy of Jesus, it's where I like to go, and Hebrews is one of those. I'm just going to take us through three verses today. Just to set you up, the book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it, but the purpose of writing it was primarily to Jewish converts who were tempted to go back to Judaism. They're tempted to go back to the old way of life, to leaning on the old systems, the laws, the sacrificial system, the things that made them right with God, because they were enduring a lot of persecution. And I think we can identify in terms of like when life gets hard, we kind of want to go back to the old way, don't we? And so this author is laying out this incredible like statement and defense of how amazing Jesus is. And in fact, about 15 times in the book of Hebrews, he uses the Greek word that is equivalent to superior or better. So the book of Hebrews is all about, you know, Jesus being better. He's better than Moses, even though y'all thought Moses was the greatest prophet. Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the best priests. Jesus is better and higher than the angels. And Jesus is the most grandest revelation of God thus far. Those are just a few of the examples of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to accomplish. The revelation of God is superior through Jesus, and he's wanting to make that clear. So in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, I'd like to read that. And then I already underlined the things I think are amazing. I gave you some of the answers already. You don't even have to like think. No, you will be asked to think. All right, let me read Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. This is jam-packed full. Someone ever says, hey, take me a place in Scripture that talks about how amazing Jesus is, take him to Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. So let's look at some of these things. Spoken to us by his Son. So the author is saying, hey, you used to dwell on prophets to speak to you about God. Not to say that prophets don't exist now, but that was their primary revelation of who God was through prophets. And this writer is saying, hey, God gave you Jesus to speak, to show you who he was. And he goes on and he says, he's the heir of all things. Why is that important in Jewish culture? Well, because the firstborn son got everything. When the parent passed on, they inherited all of it, owned it all. This author is saying Jesus owns it all. You're tempted to revert back to your old way. No, no, no. Jesus is supreme. He owns it all. And then he drops this huge statement, through whom he also made the universe. Everything. Beyond what your mind can imagine, the universe was created through Jesus. So that speaks to his deity. That speaks to the fact he was, like our song, the beginning and the end. Jesus was there at the beginning. That's a radical statement for these people to hear. Jesus was the creator. And then he says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. Also, radiance could mean brightness. He displays the glory of God. And the exact representation of God. Like that word exact representation is like a stamp. Like it's the mold. You want to know what God looks like and what he's like? You want to know what his character's like? Look at Jesus. That's how amazing he is. And then here, I love this one, sustaining all things. By what? Just his word. His powerful word. Is there something in your life today you're wondering, is God going to sustain it? Is God going to sustain me, you might wonder. This author's reminding them, hey, Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he just kind of inserted that. He's cleansed you. He's washed you clean. There isn't anything between you and God when you've chosen to place your trust in Jesus. He took care of it. And he's wanting the people to remember that. Hey, you don't have to depend on all that old system to forgive you of the sin, to get rid of the guilt or the shame. Jesus took care of it. And if that wasn't enough, he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. What does that mean? Jesus is in a place of ruling and reigning today. He is actively ruling with God for the redemption of all things, to make all things new. So as we listen to that today, and as we look for the beauty of Jesus in Scripture, this is my invitation. I want you to look at this and just, like, pay attention. Is there anything stirring in you? Is there any one of those statements that you say, wow, I needed to be reminded of that today? That really means something. That hits home. Jesus, I'm so thankful that that's who you are. So pick one. God, I ask that you help us something to resonate in this passage of Scripture this morning. Pick one. What is it for you? That he's cleansed you? That he sustains all things? That he truly is the one that has created the universe, that he is the revelation of God when you wonder if God is good or mean? Jesus is God. take a moment in your heart and just, I'm just going to, this might feel a little awkward that I'm talking slowly and allowing space, but that's on purpose. I just want you to sit with it. What is Jesus wanting to tell you today about himself that's worthy of adoration? And just take a moment just to thank God for it. God, thank you for, and just fill in the blank. Jesus, thank you for. Jesus, wow, that's amazing. I'm so grateful. What is it for you? Let it sink in. So in the spirit of continuing that this week, this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm even giving you application right in the middle. This week, read and reflect on a passage of Scripture. I've chosen some that are my favorites. Obviously, Jesus' story in the Gospels, that's a little, it's like, okay, Lisa, that's four books. If you don't know where to go, I'd say Mark moves fast. It's the shortest one. A lot of cool stories in there. Colossians 1, 15 through 23, John 1, 1 through 14, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. If you don't have something to write it down, you could snap a picture of that. Any one of those passages. When I read those, it again reminds me of how beautiful Jesus is. And just kind of sit with it the way we just did. Just read it and see how God stirs you. And then respond with a, wow. Or watch an episode of The Chosen. That's something that our youth is doing this summer, which I think is awesome. And every Sunday night, Tyler is taking them through an episode. They watch it because sometimes it's just helpful to see humans, you know, instead of just our imagination, kind of depict what maybe this story is like. And then they talk about it. Yeah. So that could be something that you do this week as a way of practicing adoration. All right, our second movement. Noticing the beauty of Jesus around us. And for some of us, that's like our favorite. You're like, yes, that's what I love to do. Nature, take me there. I'd rather be there than in here. I'd rather be on a hike. Stories of people, music, poetry, art. And I want to say, if you're maybe new to church and this is new to you, or you're still not quite sold on Jesus and you're exploring him or seeking him, and this part of our service might be weird, I'd encourage you just to think about what you think is beautiful and entertain, could it be true that there is divine behind it and that Jesus, in fact, made that possible? So just maybe in the prayer of your heart today, you can just say, hey, God, can you make yourself more known to me? Because I think that's a prayer that he really loves to honor. So a few examples as I was just randomly thinking about that this week. I pulled this picture. There's nothing special. This isn't a scene of my life or something. I picked it. And you may say, Lisa, that doesn't really look anything extraordinary about that picture. But let me tell you why I picked it. My grandma was an artist. She graduated from the Chicago Art Institute. And I grew up watching her paint. And she lived in Michigan City along the dunes. And so she painted a lot of dune scenes. And when she would experience nature and when we'd be with her, she would see the world through the eyes of an artist. And there's something she'd used to say when we'd be out in nature. She'd look at something like this and she'd say, isn't that amazing? You know, and as a little kid, you're like, you know, what? She says, look at all that green. Look at all the different shades of green in this scene. And she'd start naming all the different shades of green. Because she saw it and she appreciated that God just didn't make one color of green. He made who knows how long. You go to the paint store and it's overwhelming. How many greens? I should have known she was training me early to say go green as a kid. Oh yeah, you got it. Okay. Way to go. But she noticed the green. I'm just giving you really practical examples of how to notice the beauty of Jesus. Okay, here's another one. Some of us love fruit. Fruit comes off a tree or a vine. Look at the strawberry. One morning over breakfast, I was eating with my dad, and he holds up a strawberry, and he says, "Isn't this amazing?" And I'm looking at him like, "What, Dad?" He said, and he kind of looks at it. My dad's an engineer, so he loves to see how things are made. He does that with everything. So he's holding the strawberry, and he says, "The seeds are on the outside. The seeds are on the outside." You know, and there's blueberries on the table. I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, the seeds are on the inside of the blueberry." But it's like he marvels at the simplest of things. Why? Because it points them to the creator of the strawberry. And he says, "Isn't God just so cool that he made the strawberry with the seeds on the outside?" And in that moment, I think that's a way to adore God. I think that's a way in which the beauty of Jesus is apparent to us and we're saying, "Wow, that's incredible." This last week, I had a chance to sit around a few fire pits with some friends. Some of you might say, "Oh, are you going to tell us how amazing fire is, Lisa?" I could, but I don't know the science behind it. But it is amazing, but that's not why I showed you the picture. I think fire pits are great to sit around and talk about life. There's something about the intimacy of sitting around a fire, you know, and it's dark out, and you start talking about stories. And I had a chance to do that this week, and one of my questions I love to ask, if it feels right, is, "Hey, tell me about a time when God was faithful to you. Hey, tell me about a chapter in your life that was hard, and how did God meet you in that?" And it's these types of stories where your deep love for God grows. "Tell me about a time that God restored something you thought was lost forever." Again, that's a way that we practice adoration, because we remember the God who's behind it. And we can say, "Wow." The arts. Anyone know where this is? It's the Sistine Chapel. It's the Sistine Chapel. I went to see it, it was 8 years ago already. Magnificent piece of art. Michelangelo, it took him 4 years. Five, actually. He took a year off. Won't blame him. But a certain type of painting called fresco, he had to learn it. And it's just extraordinary when you look at art. I read a quote a few months ago. This man says, "I believe there is a God because there are cathedrals." And at first I didn't get it. I'm like, I have never heard that as a defense for the existence of God. But why did he say that? Because something that captured him so much of this cathedral he was talking about, he said there has to be the divine behind it, because who could create something so magnificent that draws my heart to worship God? God's behind it, and it makes us go, "Wow." I could go on and on. Music, you know, songs that do the same thing for you. I have a painting that's hanging in my office. It's really small. It's 5x7. It was actually a card. A cousin of mine painted it, and it's depicting Jesus in the garden. And I have it in my eyesight when I sit down, direct line of vision, because this scene with Jesus makes me love him every time I see it, because I'm reminded of what that scene meant for Jesus. That he was battling this whole thing out with God, whether he was going to follow through with the mission he was given. It reminds me of Jesus being a man of humility, of surrender. Reminds me of Jesus, it's a picture of his leadership, right? Of doing something in private and quiet when the rest of people bailed on him and slept, and he's still duking it out. He's still fighting for the cause that he was assigned. And he's the most extraordinary leader ever. It's a picture of his loneliness, a picture of his agony, perhaps the most human moment of God. And so that's why I have it in front of me. And my heart never used to be as drawn to this story until 10 years ago. I was at a retreat center spending some time alone with God, and this man engaged me in conversation. His opening line was, "Are you a curler?" I thought that was odd. I've never been identified as a curler athlete, but I thought, well, this guy's interesting. So we ended up talking, and I found out that he had a huge heart for God, and he looked like he was kind of a groundsman at the retreat center, and I noticed that his boots were duct taped. And by the end of our conversation, I called him Jesus in duct tape boots, because I believe that God spoke to me through this man named Tom. But as we were talking about God and Jesus, there was a moment he looks at me and he says, "You Protestants go straight to the cross and you skip over the garden." And I said, "Well, tell me more about that, Tom." And he said, "Well, the garden is where Jesus, you know," and then he begins to explain some of the stuff I just shared with you of why I love Jesus in the garden. And that moment, that conversation with Tom changed me forever, because I learned to appreciate that Jesus had to die first in the garden before he died on the cross for us. And at the end of that conversation, Tom pulls out this little crucifix. It's about this big, and it still hangs in my car. And he said, "Lisa, when life gets hard, you remember what Jesus did for you." And I said, "Thank you, Tom." And I held on to that, and I still hold on to it today. A few years later, I went back to the retreat center, maybe a year and a half, because I wanted to thank Tom for how much that moment changed me. Won't get into all that, but how much that story of Jesus and how I decided to spend more time in the garden and really study that passage. And when I got there and I said, "Is Tom here?" The groundsman that was there said, "We're sorry, Tom, he passed away." And I said, "What?" They said, "Tom's been battling cancer for years." And I didn't know that. Here, this man engaged me in a conversation with Jesus and telling me, you know, if the path you're on is hard, don't quit. When life gets hard, you remember what Jesus did for you. And he was so generous and so kind. And he drew me back to the garden. And so I share that longer story with you to say there are things out of our stories that help us love God more deeply, and we need to remind ourselves of those things. And sometimes they're in paintings or symbols or crosses, petals of flowers, I don't know. Maybe something's coming to mind for you. A gift that you are given that you hold on to because it draws you deeper into the love of God. So let's think about that together. What reminders help you recenter your affection on Jesus? How has that happened for you this week? Has there been a walk in nature? Has there been a story from somebody that captured you? Has there been art or music? I'm just going to give you a moment to think about that. And just say, "God, bring something to mind. What is something so beautiful, or even the simplest of things that caught my attention and caused me to go, wow, you're amazing?" Did that happen this week for you? Maybe it was through somebody. Maybe you had an incredible conversation with somebody and you're like, we have this connection in God and it's so special. We wouldn't be able to connect without the Spirit of God in this. Have you taken a moment just to say, "Wow, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that." Is there a song that you've been playing on repeat lately? Not the inappropriate ones. Just kidding, I do that too. Ones that draw you into worship of God. There was a season, and I still play this a lot, "Holy Forever." It just captured me because I've been wanting to grow in this idea of adoring God for who he is. So maybe it's a song. So this week, slow down and pray. "Jesus, help me to notice you today. Help me to notice you in all the things that would draw my heart to you." Whether that's nature or stories or people or music. And there's even more. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And God surprises us with places that he'll show up. in the most unlikely places, God loves to show up. Like a man in duct tape boots showed up to me. But if we're not paying attention, we'll miss it. And we'll miss a moment that God wants us to have. So maybe it's taking a walk outside. Maybe it's sitting around a fire pit and sharing stories and just saying wow together. Maybe it's playing a certain song when you wake up or before you go to bed. Maybe it's reading one of your favorite verses. Maybe it's hanging a piece of art that you've always loved and you just have never hung it for whatever reason. Put it somewhere where you'll see it on a regular basis. And then say, wow. We're going to close our time together a little differently, just to kind of enter into more of a meditative, quiet reflection. And if I could have Tyler come up, please. And